For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Hey, this is TV personality Eric Bolling
and NFL Hall of Famer Brett Favre.
We're coming together for a new weekly podcast. Everyone, you got to subscribe. Bowling with Favre, from politics, sports, finance, culture, nothing off the tables, maybe even a Kardashian comment. One of the disappointing things of the whole Trump administration was when he left office and pardoned 143 people. The Tiger King didn't get a pardon. I mean, are you kidding me?
I watched one episode, by the way.
He was a good guy.
Was he, though?
I don't know. I liked him a lot more than Carol Baskin.
Get new shows every week from Podcast One and LiveByLive.com. Old friends, great stories, intriguing conversation on Bowling with Favre.
We may talk a little hunting. That's your neck of the woods, Brett.
And biking.
And biking and hiking. Subscribe now on the Podcast One app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, LiveByLive.com, and everywhere you get your favorite podcasts.
Episode 286, Shift and Steer, is here.
Boy, this is going to be a workout.
Yeah.
He's so heavy.
Hey, welcome to the party, pal. This is Shift and Steer. I know that we've been doing good things with pal, because I was going back and forth on a text with Rutledge Wood the other day, and when we got done, he said, "Thanks a lot, pal." Yep. See?
Well, Rutledge definitely seems like a Powell kind of guy.
That's right, man. So how you guys been? I missed you last week when I was over in Arizona. Yeah.
Wait, you weren't here last week? We didn't even notice.
I know, you couldn't even tell. I was actually in the desert, but yeah. I wasn't with a trailer broken down for once. So
Story. Yeah, there's no story to tell.
We basically said that you were out there futzing around on your mom's house trying to get contractors to fix stuff, and we just kind of left it at that. But
I was having a new roof put on and have a roof fixed. She had a weird thing with her roof where some of the main support beams had rotted away because the roof didn't drain correctly over all these years, and one day it just went gunk. And part of it fell, so we had to rebuild that whole thing, and had to be over there to make sure everything went well. But it gave me some time to play with my OBS Tahoe that I keep over there. And
did you have an OBS hat on right now?
I know I do, man. And but they, I got new plates on it, got the oil changed, you know, made sure there's enough air in the tires, and then I got to drive it, which was the best part. So
nice.
It's all good. I'm anxiously awaiting my KZ750 to get here from Detroit. It was supposed to be here 2 days ago, and I got a freight delay notice that it won't be here till next week, towards the end of the week. And
there's been a lot of that. Like we talked about, like people are mail order things. And if you're getting anything overseas, like if you're just ordering some car parts or just some knickknacks, like around the shop, like I'm putting some stuff in the garage behind me and just getting like a tool cart or, you know, like a high stool, you know, stuff, like some stuff I've ordered, like from Jags, and you know, some of that stuff that gets banged around, that gets made overseas, everything is just like delivery in June. It's like, you can't get anything.
That's weird because I'm getting like early delivery notifications for all my Amazon stuff. I don't know what you guys, it's perfect, American made. Yeah, and it's perfect because I'll be gone next week because I'll be in the middle of the desert overlanding.
Well, there you go.
Now, Brad, every time you said roof instead of roof, you said roof. My dog's ears perked up. So please excuse me if I'm a little distracted today, folks. I have a 20-pound dog on my lap that still thinks he's a puppy, and he keeps giving me French wet willies in my right ear. So
he is a puppy.
He is. He's a sleepy puppy.
He's
going to
be a puppy forever. So, oh, Brad, you did a little overlanding yourself, I guess, on the way.
Yeah. So,
well, first of all, tell us what you drove
to Arizona and why.
the
brand new, and it's coming up that my internet connection is unstable. No, I
tell you what. I'm gonna cut you off for 1 second, and I'm gonna read a couple little ads so we can pay some bills real quick, and then I'm gonna let you get
into
your story.
There you go.
Hey, Matt, why don't you read a couple ads? Because we almost forgot.
Why don't we do that? I'm gonna read a couple ads real quick. So bear with me for a second. Give a little love to our friends over at Geico. You guys own your home, or you rent your home, or you're Brad and you're just fixing your home. As you know, it could be a lot of hard work, as Brad has been telling us. It's a lot of hard work, but you know it's easy, Brad. Bundling your policies with Geico.
It is.
Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and renters insurance along with your auto policy. And we know that's a good thing because you already have so much to do around your home already. So just go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. And our friends at Meguiar's. And I'm going to tell you that... I don't have the new ad copy for Meguiar's, but we love them. We love their product. And I can tell you that that car waxes have come a long way over the years. And our friends at Meguiar's have been at the forefront of this for since the very beginning. They have their new line of hybrid ceramic products. Let me run through a few things for you real quick. Of course, we talked about their hybrid ceramic spray wax. This is the one that's in the bright blue bottle. It's got their SiO2 hybrid technology, delivers that ceramic wax protection and durability beyond traditional wax. And then they have their hybrid ceramic liquid wax. This is the long-lasting ceramic protection that's easy to use. It goes on quick. It has that great water beating action. Just a different way for you guys that like the liquid wax. They have that version as well. Of course, my favorite, I think, Aaron, as well, is the spray detailer. Their hybrid ceramic spray detailer, very easy to use, removes dust, fingerprints, bird droppings. It boosts that shine, gives you a little added protection, that same SiO2 hybrid ceramic protection, that technology that they use. And then I still haven't tried this yet. I don't have a very good place for to do sort of the wash your own car here for
you don't
like
have
a
drain
hookup.
In that floor.
Well, I don't have the hose hookup, and
just drill a hole.
Yeah, I could just. I'm just gonna put it on the sink, right? Is there like an attachment? Like,
yeah,
plug
you
it
put
in
a hole
my
in the sink, and then what you do is you drill a hole, like Aaron said, in the bottom of the wall. Over to your neighbors and let it drain over to
that. There you go.
That actually works out great because he did his floors as well, so he's got that nice coating on the floor. But
yeah. Well, he'll just drill a hole and just keep it moving all the way outside.
We're trying to find a way to use the Meguiar's new hybrid ceramic wash and wax. It's the one that's in the bright orange bottle. It's the two-part liquid that goes into one bucket. It gives you all that great, slick, low sudsing a wash. Let it sit on the car, do its thing, give it a good wash. They got Meguiar's got their new handy wash mitt as well. You want to check that out. The wash mitt is sold separately, by the way.
It got their wash mitt?
Yeah, the wash mitt. It got their wash mitt.
Is that German, the wash mitt?
Wash mitt.
I
haven't used the mitt. Well, I have. I had like not their mitt. I had like an old mitt. But they're kind of floppy when they get wet, right? You know what I'm saying? Like they get real heavy and floppy.
Well, you do parade hand with them.
Like your teenage years?
yeah. A little bit of that.
You have a rabbit for a mitt?
All right. Anyway, Meguiar's has a ceramic solution for everybody. It's ceramic made easy. It's Meguiar's.
It is Meguiar's.
It is Meguiar's. All right.
Drift and Steer, racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Vanjore, Matt D'Andrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
And so you're asking me what I drove to Arizona. And what I drove to Arizona was the same vehicle that you had about a month ago, which was the Toyota TRD off-road 4Runner. And
right, except I had the Tacoma version. You've got I had the pickup truck. You got the SUV.
Yeah, which I was really pleasantly surprised at how large it was inside. Because it looks quite small from outside, but the inside interior room and what it was able to carry surprised me. I hauled a bunch of boxes in it and really loaded it down. But I'm saying without even folding the seat down. So it had a lot of room behind that second row seat that gave me a lot. But it was really nice. It had the leather interior. It had all carbon fiber around the dash and on the it had like a brushed, like a blackened metal across the gauge area. And it drove super nice. And, I will say I didn't put it through its paces as far as acceleration or anything. I was on more of a cruise driving, and it was great. It had all of the toys. It had, the accident avoidance, so I could put it on cruise control. And when you're on a long trip, just let it go along. And when it comes up on a semi, it slows down on its own. I could get out of that lane and it would accelerate, and it did all its jobs. Super comfortable seats too.
Yeah.
But on the way back, I said, okay, this is a 4x4 TRD off-road. I've got to go off-road. So outside of Quartzsite, there's a couple little roads where if you've ever driven through Quartzsite, Arizona in the wintertime, it is crazy nuts. All these retired people come out there with their motorhomes and their trailers. And it started out about 10, 15 years ago, just kind of started around the exit. And then there was all these rock hounds. They have an annual, rock hound type convention where people come in and trade gemstones and stuff like that. Well, then it started growing. Now it's ridiculous. It's out into the desert. And when you drive through at night, you see people way out in the middle of nowhere. So now there's all these great trails going out into the desert. So I got off one of the exits, and I must have gone, I'm going to tell you guys, 300 feet off the road.
I knew something was coming.
And I'll tell you the reason why. One was timing.
No, wait for it.
And no, one was timing, but the other was just simply because I was not prepared to go overlanding. I didn't have a spare. I didn't have a jack. I didn't have anybody.
He didn't have a lid on his coffee cup.
My big goal. But it was pretty cool because that thing just immediately went into its automatic mode, and I could feel it when it started getting over. I'll post some photos. I posted a few last week, but there were some where it's got some big chunky rocks right off the road, and it really did the job right away. I'll tell you what though. So literally I'm 300 feet off the road, and I go to turn around to make U-turn to get some photos of it. And as I'm turning around, there's these holes in the ground that are about, excuse me, the size of like a good size SUV. And they've got just barbed wire around them with keep out. And so I'm like, I wonder what those are. So I make my U-turn. I park the truck, and there's like four of them in a row. And I park the truck, and I get out and I walk over and I look down, and they're like mine shaft holes. And and I go, oh shit. I run back, move the truck back onto the pathway. Cause I'm thinking, if there's one every 50 feet, am I parked over a mine shaft? I can just turn around and go, where'd the truck go?
Right.
That way, I don't know if that's covered by insurance. Well, it fell into a mine shaft, and
but it'll be a great story.
Yeah. What's the movie that I'm thinking of with Kevin Bacon in the desert with the giant worms?
Oh, where the worms come up? Yeah.
Yeah. Tremors.
Tremors.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm thinking of that. Having those things start.
Have you seen the latest one, part 8?
I don't know, but it seems like
they've got
a lot.
Like 7 or 8 of those things. They just keep going.
They just keep going.
But no, it really did its job on and off the road. Great truck. Great truck.
So cool. The Tacoma that I drove, that we talked about it, we got a lot of comments on social media about it as well, was I felt like something was going on, like no real throttle response off the line.
I remember you said that.
Unless you like hammered down on it. And some guys were commenting saying, you know, they do gear swaps for it. And I spoke with a buddy of mine at Toyota, and he was saying that I think that engine has some sort of like eco mode or cylinder deactivation, and that's kind of what's going on there. So I don't know if there's like a tune or something to bypass that. There are some handheld tuners. I think someone in the Holley group, I forgot, they own a bunch of companies now, right? Edge Performance, Diablo Sports, things like that. I believe they had some sort of device or tuner for the maybe for the V8 Silverados that would not allow it to go into the cylinder deactivation mode. You know, like if you just wanted a little bit more of that throttle response all the time and it not shut it down. I don't know if you could alter it. I think it's kind of on or off. I don't think it could be like if it's cruising, you can turn it on. And when it's not cruising, it just kind of does its thing. But some variation like that in the Tacoma. What was your thought? Were you feeling like it needed some oomph or
well, first of
is
all,
this more of a Tacoma thing?
You got to remember, I'm used to driving big V8 cars and trucks. Yeah. So that's the first thing. So, but there is an eco mode, and the eco mode detunes everything, makes it out on the highway. No problem. I didn't, even in eco mode, I didn't have any problem passing or anything. But around town, I did take it out of the eco mode because I did want a little more throttle response. I did want a little more oomph. And I really wasn't dissatisfied with it, Matt. And I don't know if the 4Runner is geared a little different or what, but it seemed to really do well. It wasn't, you know, pinning me back in the seat or anything like that, but it was what I expected from that vehicle. Now, my question was, I did wonder what the torque was, and I was going to look it up and I forgot because I was thinking about if I was towing motorcycles or something like that, how would it pull and how would it pull up the hill especially? And that would be my concern.
Well, in that regard, when you get into the world we love, the aftermarket world, I believe Magnuson does have a supercharger for it, a twin screw supercharger, which I assume there, I mean, I don't know if this is true, but I assume that when you put the supercharger on and you program it, whatever sort of eco mode or cylinder deactivation or something like that, maybe that's bypassed. So you get that low end torque that you kind of want if you're going to put the supercharger on there anyway.
Right.
But it'll be interesting to talk to our friend Richard Waitis from Magnaflow. Doesn't have the Toyota Tacoma, but he's got the Chevy Colorado. And if you've been following
he's been doing a ton
of content, a ton of overlanding. He's been doing some really good videos on not just the exhaust that they develop. Their overlanding exhaust series from Magnaflow is an exhaust kit, but tuned sound-wise a little differently.
Yeah.
But also designed to be very tucked up into the chassis of these vehicles that they make them for, right? So you still get the ground clearance. But he was here for a visit a week or two ago. We went through his truck. We talked about some projects here. And he got a Magnuson supercharger that he's going to be installing and I think dyno testing and doing some testing on. So, you know, as far as a Tacoma versus Colorado comparison, I'm curious to find out how much he's going to like this supercharger and what it's going to do for him compared to, you know, all of the stuff he's been doing, all of the overlanding and all that stuff out there. And his gas mileage as well. Does it change? you know, right. Like when it's on the freeway, because I believe the Magnusons, they've in the past, they've always had like a bypass valve in the back where it would just blow off boost. If you're on the freeway doing 65 miles an hour,
you don't need it.
It kind of just blows off the boost, less drag on the motor completely. It's not even compressing it in there. So it really just made no difference at all for the most part at cruising speed. But when you got on it, it would close that valve. So it was, I don't know. I haven't been following Magnuson that much recently. So I don't know if that technology is still being used, but
I don't know either, but I will tell you that I've been watching all that stuff Rich has been doing, and he's been doing much more than R&D. He has become the overlanding guy.
I know.
I think that like you, Aaron, you know, you guys are like, you know, like, yeah, we live this now, you know? I mean, he's been...
I'm telling you, it's a lot of fun. I would think for him, too, he has a pretty... I think it appears he has a pretty fun job, but, you know, the corporate world... Once you take the leash off, man, there's no going home.
Yeah. Well, he's been doing that.
The wilderness. Yeah, it's awesome.
But, you know, speaking of like outfitting the truck, what he's been doing and what you've been doing, Aaron, you posted something recently that I definitely want to hear about. I want to hear about the spray bed liner thing.
Oh, yeah.
You did.
Oh, that. Yeah. Okay.
I want to hear about that. I know you've got other stuff. But the spray bedliner thing I want to hear about, because I think about even just like, honestly, like this Mustang sitting behind me, just doing the wheel wells, doing like the wheel liners, the plastic and stuff, just some things like that. So tell us what you did and what you used.
Yeah. So, sorry again.
Your dog's farting.
Yeah.
We're not talking gas. We're talking liner.
Because I was like, why are you crying? What are those tears in your eyes?
I was trying not to say it, but yeah. bad. Yeah, so I've had this little cargo box that I've been wanting to use in stainless steel for the Defender. And you know, it's just you have to cut a hole in the fender, because the fender wells are always like just useless. You know, they're just these big holes like a lot of trucks. And so I've had this thing for a little while, and I'm like, you know what? I'm doing it. I look in there with a flashlight, everything looks good, you know? So I cut a hole in it, and oh shit, there's a lot of stuff behind that panel. So I start cutting up the box. I weld the box together. I TIG weld it all together. My TIG is just not loving me at the moment. I think I was low on argon gas. It's over weekend, you know, nothing's open. So I'm just kind of making it work. So now I have to cover all my crappy welds and holes and Swiss cheese, you know, seam work that I did in this wafer thin.
Oh, I see. Now I see the reason for the
stainless. And I'm like, wait a minute. Didn't Kevin from Rugged Restore give me that really cool bed liner that I've been dying to use a year, 2 years ago? So I actually Loctite was really generous quite a few years back, and they sent me literally like a 700-pound pallet full of products. And I gave them to all my friends locally. Sorry, guys.
Did you get anything?
Yeah, I knew it was coming.
I don't remember
thinking
anything.
Thinking ahead. overlanding mode. Think ahead.
Yeah.
At Rattlesnakes. And I tried their bed liner, and it kind of comes out brown and like bear jerky. It's that yellowy brown. And 2 days later, it was still tacky, and I'm going, man. So I just took a scraper and I scraped it off. Then I remembered that Kevin gave me that other product because I had put it in a different place. Man, that stuff rocks. I got to say, it's water-based. I did wear a respirator just because it was spattering. But man, depending on how you adjust that gun, it comes with a little spray gun. It comes in like an oil container. You know,
it looked like a quart of oil.
Yeah. I guess packaging during COVID or around there was really tough. So it comes in a little quart oil thing, and it's awesome because it screws right onto the spray nozzle and to the HVLP sprayer. And I gotta say, man, I think between 40 and 60 pounds of pressure I use, so somewhere 50, 60 pounds, and man, it just easy. And I did tape the edges because, you know, that's the smart thing to do on an expensive rig, but I almost didn't have to. I mean, yeah, I would, but you don't have to over mask.
So the gun was pretty precise.
Yeah, it's real accurate.
Considering it's a thick, gooey stuff.
Yeah, because you're not doing like a 14-inch fan. You know, you're doing like a 2 or 3-inch area because I'm doing that little box. And it's I had to kind of go deep. But I used aluminum tape on the seams just to kind of clean it up a little bit, make a nice surface. And then I just did a couple coats over that, left the door open, and it was dry in a couple hours. And it looks good. And I have to say, being water-based, I didn't pass out afterwards. Mm-hmm. I didn't run into the fence or the wall, you know, afterwards. I felt great. And the gun, you just got to clean the gun out really good with water and let it run for a while and blow it out. Easy cleanup, pulled the tape, closed the door, went on my way. I got to say, really cool. So now, of course, I'm like, well, should I redo the under fenders? Should I do the fender flares? What about the pin scour? You know, now I'm thinking I want to do everything because he gave me 2 quarts. So I'm like, I only used, you know, about a fifth of a quart during that box with 3 coats.
So what's it called?
What else can I do? It's Rugged Restore, and it's I got to look up the actual. It's called the Barricade
Dog Rides.
Yeah, the Barricade Sprayable Bedliner, Ultimate Bedliner Coating. I have to say, of all the stuff that I've used, and I've used a lot of stuff, I haven't used the Rhino products, but they're I think harder. This definitely dries to a not semi-soft, but it's got a little bit of a soft touch. But it doesn't imprint, right? So it has some rigidity, but more flexibility. The Rhino liner stuff that I've seen on some of the overlanding, you know, they do their whole truck. That stuff's like a hard shell. Like there's no going back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This stuff, I bet you, if you touched it up later by hand, because it's rollable too. I bet you if you touched it up later by hand and then put a fresh coat, you could touch up a deep scrape or anything. I haven't put it through its paces yet, but so far I'm pretty impressed. It's really easy to use. And that's the thing. Bedliners can be a little intimidating. It's really easy to use, and it went on really, really consistent. That's another thing too, especially in a spray application. It's really hard to get that consistency sometimes. This went on really nice. I have to say, I'm really happy with it. I probably won't use anything else unless there's a totally different application. And Kevin Davis, who's my buddy who gave this to me, and he represents the company. He is Rugged Restore. He said it's paintable. I didn't try it, but he said it really, really takes paint well. So I would maybe look on their website if you're thinking of painting it. They're working on a tintable version. And maybe even a color version, but right now it's just black, and it's black. I mean, it's like black, which is really nice too. Cause some of this stuff, like I said, the Loctite one wasn't black. It was kind of this weird muddy, yellowy brown.
Yeah. You could buy some of that just like in a spray can at Home Depot, or some of the auto parts stores. Rust-Oleum has it. A couple companies have it.
So. Yeah. There's a lot of companies out there.
I'm looking at this, Rugged Restore, their website, and they have 2 quart kits, 4 quart, and 8 quarts. They all come with the gun and stuff. And it's $120 for the 2 quart, $160 for 4 quarts, and $280 for 8 quarts. So, yeah, if you're gonna do a few things because you're paying for the gun as well, you might as well get a. You know, get it with a few quarts. I imagine at some point you can buy, or somewhere on the website, you could buy it without the gun. Cause if you already have a gun.
Yeah. If you already have it, you take care of the gun.
Yeah.
And the tube's the right length. I mean, it takes out of the bottom. I shook it. I didn't see that you had to shake it up, but I shook it up really good. And I got to say, I have nothing bad to say about it. I really, really like it. In fact, I messaged Kevin and said, "Hey Kevin, The pin scour is looking pretty shoddy, and I had a filming this next week, and it's been moved to July. So I'm like, hey, we have a couple months for you to come up with that formula in Army Green, and come on out and let's shoot the whole car. Let's shoot the whole truck. I want the outside, inside, everywhere. I want to shoot the whole thing."
Now you and just to finish up on this, because I'm curious, I'm thinking about doing something like it, is you welded this box together so it was basically fresh and new. Like if you do something with the pin scour, it's really going to be about prep at this point, right? So like true. You paint. What have you talked to them about the prep process?
No, because as a painter, I kind of just prep everything automatically. But the stainless steel box, I have to say, I didn't really prep it. It had some weird coating on it that I sanded off when I welded it, because I found it was spitting like crazy. So I had to you know, properly, you know, treat my edges. Sorry, Lincoln, I was neglecting. And I just sprayed it over that, and I scraped at it with my fingernail, and it's not coming off. I think, like any painted surface, once you put a deep scratch in it down to the base beyond whatever you put over it, it'll start picking away. But when it's a solid mass, unless it delaminates because of some surface discrepancy or oils or contaminants in there, and it bubbles and then the whole thing delaminates.
Yeah.
If you have at all a good surface, stuff tends to really stick. And there, I didn't see anything about prep. I mean, it is water-based, so anything that's oily is probably going to react to it, but I didn't have any issues. We'll see in the long run, because I didn't prep it very well overall, so we'll see. It's sticking to stainless steel, raw stainless steel, stainless rod filler, aluminum tape, and whatever coating they had on top. So there's several places it could fail. So let's see. But I put it on pretty thick. So
are you thinking under your wheel housings and like that, you said?
Well, I haven't really put too much thought on it. Like, I did like a spray on just a rattle can in the wheel well. Like on a lot of these cars, right? The front ones are plastic and the rear is the metal, right?
Yeah.
So I just did a spray in there, taped everything off, did a couple coatings. Wasn't as concerned, Aaron, like with kind of the off color, kind of brownish, whatever, because it's a wheel well, it's going to get dirty and stuff anyway.
This doesn't do that. This goes on black. Yeah.
You know, but if you were going to do something like off-road bumpers or spare tire rack or anything that is kind of out there
visible,
exposed and needed to look good. I know when I did, you know, I got the spray and bed liner on my truck, on the Lightning. And yeah, there was some prep. I'm sure they cleaned it. And I'm sure they
absolutely.
I don't know if they actually sanded everything or if they just like scuffed it, you know, just got like the red pad out and just scuffed everything up. But you could see they definitely did something to it before they sprayed it. There is
most prep of it involved. Is degreasing, and with these type of thing, and like you said, with a Scotch-Brite, just to give it a hand.
Yeah.
Because they usually most of these textured based things have a catalyzer in them that, you know, kind of grab the surface, because that's what they're there for, is to take over. And like you said, Aaron, is to really get a hold of that surface so that it doesn't come back up, because they're not just a color.
Right. And being a painter, I can tell you, you know, I should have really thought about that, but I didn't worry about it because I'm experimenting. But if you're doing a bed liner or anything like that, you definitely want two types of adhesion. You want a chemical adhesion, which is, like you said, Brad, some sort of adhesion promoter, catalyzed, you know, chemicals that's in the paint or in the whatever you're putting in there. And you want a tooth. So you want something for it to physically adhere to and get down inside of, you know, porously, which is called a tooth. So you want something to have tooth so it can grapple in there as well. Yeah, if you have both of those things, very little can go wrong except chemical contamination, like oils or anything that are incompatible or chemicals that will continue to outgas. And then therefore they'll keep the surface from chemically bonding. And obviously it can cause some delamination there too. But yeah, it's I didn't worry too much about this. It's a rubberized product. It's water-based. I put it on real thick and it's just going inside of a cubby hole. Which I'll probably put some matting in there too, because stuff will rattle around in there. So I'll probably put some rubber matting in there or foam matting in there, something that doesn't absorb water too much. But I'm going to test it out when we go hit the desert and put all my recovery strapping and stuff in there. So it's going to be mostly soft stuff. That's what it was intended for, because it sits right underneath my other recovery gear on the left side. driver's side for quick access. Yeah, I'm excited, but it's
good
stuff.
You'll have to send some photos next week from your overlanding adventure to post.
Oh, so, I absolutely will.
I know you always post them on yours, but if you send me a couple, I can repost them on Shift and Steer a lot easier.
I tag you guys. I
know, but I don't have time to take them, put them, and redo all your tests.
A word from our friends at Geico. Maybe you own your home or you rent your home. Either way, it can be a lot of work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home already. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
I want to ask you guys. Now, Mecum has their annual Indianapolis muscle car auction coming up. It's May 14th through the 22nd. Now, I've known about this for years because I'm a muscle car guy, and it is always where some of the rarest old race cars, everything from Indy cars to drag cars to rare muscle cars show up. And they have one of their premier cars that's going to be coming is a 1971 Hemi Cuda convertible. Original motor, original trans and shifter, the only one ever built in Wimbledon gray, and it's got the black quarter panel stripe on it. It now, in 71, there were only 12 Hemi convertibles built, and five of those went overseas, and the rest stayed here, and only three of the 12 were four speeds. So this car has four speed, convertible, Hemi, rare color, and it was exported originally to France. Somebody found it and brought it back here in 93. And like most of these Hemi convertibles, they've been in collections. You don't even see them come up anymore. We saw them at Barrett Jackson going through pretty readily about 10, 15 years ago, but then the prices got up to a point where you don't even see them anymore. And the last ones have been going for around $2 million a piece. What do you guys think? Everything else is going through the roof. Houses, everything in the world. Cars have been going for big money. What do you guys have a guess what this might go for?
Well, if they're going for that.
My guess is 2.5. I'm saying that they're going to get about a $500,000 premium on this sucker because of the market and because it's available, because they just don't come available that often. And
impressive.
And it looks nice. It's a good looking car.
I remember Barrett Jackson years ago, like, you know, the convertibles were pulling some big money.
Yeah, like 1.7, 1.5 back then. Yeah.
Do they pull more than the hard tops?
The convertibles were
rarity at that point.
Yeah. How many did you say there was? Like
12.
12.
Yeah.
12.
And,
yeah.
And only three of those have four speeds. Craig Jackson, I know, has one of them.
I was just going to say, doesn't Craig have one?
He does. And so that means that there's only two others other than Craig's. And it's, you know, it's a pretty cool car. You know what's cool about this car is that it has 60,000 miles and it's unrestored. So it is a pretty cool old time capsule. You know, it's not one that somebody did the rotisserie, and it's about as close.
Well,
as
that's even cooler, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it's funny because you're going, well, it hasn't been restored and it's got some miles on it, so you can drive it. You're like, yeah, but it's a $2 million car. I mean,
but in the auction, it hasn't been restored.
Yeah. You know, it is interesting because you think about, you know, like Adam Carolla's Porsche 935 and the Scarab that John Morton raced a number of years back in Monterey and crashed. And then what's the guy's name here? Frank. I forgot the guy who that restored it.
Just leave it at Frank. And you'll sound
I think it's Frank.
Frank?
It'll come to me. It's something very Italian. But when do the cars become expensive enough or so expensive that it's always restorable, right? Because it's so
when valuable. They're a Ferrari GTO.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like at a point where, you know, because people were asking Adam, hey, you know, your car is getting up there in value, $8 million, $9 million, $10 million. You've raced it. And there's a little bit of thought of, yeah, it's getting pretty pricey. Maybe don't want to get it out on the track all the time. And he has driven it a number of times. But it's always like, are you afraid of wrecking it? And he's like, well, of course, nobody wants to wreck the car.
Right.
But there's no scenario where you don't bring it back. You know, like, you know,
I speak.
Well, right. Yeah. If you have to take a helicopter off the edge, look, that car can completely burn down to the ground and you're going to bring it.
You're going to pry that VIN tag off and you're going to go, okay, here it is.
Well, I mean, you're just going to do whatever you can to try to bring it back. Right.
I feel like it's all relative because when you look at the guys who own these Ferrari GTOs that are now in the 50 million plus range, easily every single one, it's relative to their income level. And when they have the money to spend 65, 70 million on a car, and it's not their only car in most every case, they have a $18 million or a $25 million penthouse. And they have they have multiple homes. To them, it would be the same as like me wrecking my Baldwin Motion car and going, oh my God, insurance, what's covered? And saying, it's going to cost me now $100,000 to bring it back. And we'd probably still do it because it's worth $250,000. But to them, they know it's going to cost this many million, but we've got to because it's this, you know?
And it's funny because you mentioned like the Ferraris, you're talking about somebody spending 50 million, you know, that 48, 50 million mark, that's the most expensive for the cars spent at auction. But those cars
privately, they've gone more
privately. They're 70, 80, you know, rumored to be upwards of $100 million, you know,
it's craziness.
Crazy.
Yeah. Hey, at least you could go in, you can look at it and sit in it, not just hang it on your wall, because there's some really expensive art pieces you can hang on your wall.
Oh,
they're $100 million. And I get it. I get the collectability.
There are some serious art pieces now in the world we're in. $69 million just paid for a non-fungible token piece of art. So you can't even hang that on your wall.
That I don't really get.
I don't get it. See that painting behind me? I just finished that for a client, all in oil. Screw that. You can touch it. You can smell it. You can lick it. I can touch it up. I can fix it. It'll be around for 500 years.
I'm currently investigating NFTs for a project because they are taking off and they're getting huge, huge money. And it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Brad,
open world. Can I add, Wild West.
Can I be that guy and add one more little caveat in there?
Sure.
Look at the environmental impact of one of those. Look at the energy consumed that it takes to manage that stuff. And nobody's really talking about that right now. And I'm not that guy, but I did a little investigating and it is fucking gnarly how much energy those things take in processing. It's like mining, right? When you're mining for Bitcoin, the amount of energy that it takes to mine one Bitcoin, it's the same for these things. So I'm not a fan. It's a trend, and I'm being an artist. I'm old school, man.
There are some now it's starting to progress, and there are some services that do it. And what you have to remember though too, even that world's changing. There was a guy who did this incredible piece of art that was like metal sculpture that when it opened, there was a code inside that you could read. And so the person got his NFT out and we're going down. I mean, this is, you know,
it's wild.
Probably
it's
people listening right now going, what the hell's a non-fungible token?
Yeah. I don't know, but if I can't get car parts with it, I'm really
that's
not
right.
Yeah, well, you exactly. might have to get car parts with
well, you
it,
can but, if you sell one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure.
If you're trading them, you can.
Hey, I want to ask you guys something. Are you watching Top Gear?
I've watched a few episodes, but I'm behind.
I keep forgetting because I keep waiting.
I think
for my
a lot of people son. Are forgetting because I read an article in an entertainment, one of the big entertainment that were saying how hard they're trying to get people to watch it. And they did not say anything about the ratings. I thought it was really interesting, but they said how hard they're trying to get to watch. And I want to like it. It just hasn't got me like going, oh man, I can't wait for the next episode. I don't, I can't even put my finger on it, what it is. It's weird. And
yeah,
I keep getting the
I'll watch some over the weekend. I'll watch some over the weekend and catch up and follow up on that with you, Brad.
Yeah, I would like to know what you guys think because
like I want to love it too.
I don't even know
why. I like the characters.
It's not necessarily about the show. It's also just about being overwhelmed with content. There's so many different like streaming services and more keeps coming out and they keep pushing stuff. Sure. A lot of us have like Amazon and Netflix, you know, we got Prime and Netflix, but now it's just like Peacock and CBS and Hulu and HBO Max. And half the time, I don't remember what network or streaming network something's on. So I'm going to go, hey, did you see this?
Yeah,
like, totally there.
No, I heard it's good. What's it on? They're like, I don't know. What are the streaming networks?
Well, yeah. It's on Apple TV. I go, oh, I don't have that. I subscribe to this. Or
That's where we're at. Yeah.
and I mean, it's great that this content's available and it seems to be doing well for the companies. And a lot of content creators are being able to make some money and get some stuff on the air in some capacity. I like all of that portion of it, but it's getting a little overwhelming for the
consumer. It's saturated.
Absolutely. It's there.
It is. So I think we're going to start finding more, you know, again, this isn't Top Gear specific, is some companies like Apple or whoever that make a piece of hardware are going to start offering like a subscription that they work out with all the companies. They go, oh, for, you know, for $39, $49 a month, you get Netflix, Amazon, HBO Max, Disney, XY, you get it all for
the
one
bundles
bill,
again.
You know, one bill and it hits your Apple subscription and then it's all on your like Apple TV. And then you can kind of figure it out from there.
We could start, and we could run nice it through either like cable or through like satellite. One of those.
That they have that through your Apple TV. So if you have an Apple TV.
I do. Yeah. But here's the thing is
it's all bundled.
When you still log into your Apple TV,
it has all the
streaming networks. Do you want Netflix? What you want to do is see all of the content.
I got it. Just see the programming and you don't care what network it's
right.
On.
So I can see
my Dish satellite. I
agree with that.
You have a menu.
I agree with that.
If I hit my Siri button and go, I want to watch Top Gear America, I have it bring it up and go, oh, it's on this streaming network. I'm great. I subscribe. Just play it. I don't want to have to go find it.
Well, when I liquidate my Dogecoin, I will make sure that I use the proceeds to do that.
Hey, Brad, did you do that? My buddy just made $92,000 in the last month.
I have Bitcoin. $92,000 go up, and I'm like,
he put 13 grand. He's got $122,000 now. I mean,
up 66,000%.
Yeah, it's crazy. So good for them. Hey, Matt, have you noticed that if you try to watch previews, like if you do a Siri call up and you try to watch previews, it goes back to the Apple menu. What you have to do is you have to look down at the bottom where it says you can watch it on. Click on that and then let it take you to that. Then you can watch a preview. I just figured that out the other night. What kind of bug is that? That drives me nuts.
I don't know.
And if you call something up on Siri, it'll bring up the paid version of it first. If you just go to searches throughout and you do the work,
they probably get a commission off
somewhere.
That.
Yeah.
But if you call Siri, she's going to bring up the one that's paid for, and you got to pay for it.
Because they get a percentage, probably.
Yeah, do your work, folks. You could be wasting a lot of money if you're home watching movies.
Hey, did you guys see that video clip, speaking of TV, of the Chevy Z06 being tested with the flat plane V8?
No. Yes.
sounded
good. Yeah, it's got
good.
Some sound clips and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty
good. 9,000
I've been pulling critters out of the Pinsgauer, so I haven't been watching much of anything.
Well, it looked like you had a whole family living there. So,
in addition to that, there's going to be, I don't know. I had a conversation with Ford yesterday, and there's stuff coming that I was sworn to secrecy about.
How do we start talking about it, Jeff? Wait. And you always curve it over to a Ford.
Because it's far more interesting.
Come on.
Well, because you're talking about up-and-coming stuff. And, yeah, the Corvette sounds fantastic. Do we know if it's just naturally aspirated again or not?
We don't know yet. All we know is it's
supercharged with flat plane crank V8.
Flat plane V8. Capable of 9,000 RPM on the street version, they're saying. And it's
impressive.
Yeah, it sounded crisp. It sounded, you know, like a Ferrari or something like that, you know, which is because of that, because the, you know, the cross plane just doesn't give you that same exhaust note, you know, as the flat plane.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I'm going to have to look into that because that's
so what are these secrets you can't tell us about, Matt?
Got to wait.
Damn, I thought I could bring it around, Aaron. And just, oh, yeah, well, you know. Okay, Matt, hold on. Oh, God. Hey, thanks for listening to the show today, guys. We'll be back. So what are they, Matt? Oh, no, we're off the air, bud. We're off the air. Don't even worry about it. Nah,
we're not off the air. I see the little red dot. Even if we were off the air, I'm not going to tell you, Brad.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You just and your speak into my your glasses. They have cameras. So... Hey, we got all kinds of other stuff we could talk about, but we're running out of time. I know that for anybody who cares on Bring a Trailer, the very last car to ever roll off the Chrysler assembly line, which was a 2001 Plymouth Neon.
Oh, wow.
Has 68 miles. Now, they said the guy bought it specifically to resell at some point. He has the banner. He's got photos of it. He drove it off the assembly line. Well, the sticker on the car was like just under $19,000. Well, it's on Bring a Trailer right now, and it's been stalled out at about $15,000. So
$15,000. Yeah. Actually, real quick, because you mentioned Bring a Trailer. I think you've seen it. The auction ends today as we record this. We're in the studio on Friday. 87 Buick GNX. So not just the normal.
The GNX, which is the higher horsepower, flared wheel wells, different suspension, everything. Yeah.
Number 259 of only 547 built, only 6,000 miles. It's sitting on Bring a Trailer with an hour and a half left. Any guesses, guys, on what a clean GNX is going for right now?
I hate to even say this because I could have bought one for $35,000.
Wow.
But... I'm going to say that's around $189,000.
Well, it's got a ways to go. Computer screen. It's got a ways. Well, I'm looking at it. So
you're looking at it now. It's at 94,000 and change. It's going to be about 100. It's going to be
really.
Yeah. Now I don't know if you know if the clock's going to reset or what's going on. It's very cool. It's very clean.
Yeah, the GNX is a badass car. I mean, those things are neat because they have.
I do like it. It's.
No, they're awesome, Aaron.
Well, how about that green Cadillac Eldorado next to us?
You know, my Grand National was a badass car, and you know, wish I wouldn't have got rid of it. But the GNX, it's crazy because the GNX, and probably what hurts the price on it is the fact because I have seen some go. Moving towards that 200,000, but almost every single one of those 500 got mothballed away by speculators and collectors. So it's not a rarity to find a low mileage one. In fact, you can find them with the plastic seat covers, the window sticker, and, you know, 10 miles on them every day of the week. You just, you know, and for a while they were going for like 35,000-40,000 because there were so many, and it took a while for the collectability to catch up to them. They're neat.
I wish I could, I wish I could buy that BAC mono. I love those little things, man.
Yeah.
Those things are so cool.
All right, guys, what do you say? We wrap it up?
All right. Yeah, because I got to look up and bring a trailer now.
Let's wrap it up, guys. We appreciate you listening. Be sure to follow us on shiftandsteer.com on the website. And, you know, we appreciate the good comments and ratings and stuff you give us on iTunes. And give me a follow at Moderator on social media. What about you guys?
Hey, follow me at Bradley_Fanshaw on Instagram. And when my motorcycle arrives finally, I'll be showing some photos of it. And I'll be showing some photos of the custom caps we're going to make Moderator for his wheels, because he wants to change them.
These aren't
going to
work.
But hey, the other thing real quick before we go, I shared with you guys the photos of those two, the Mako and the Bull Taco. Did you like those?
Yes.
Motorcycles? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Just purchased last week by my buddy.
What's going on? You guys selling your Bitcoin and buying motorcycles?
Not yet. Not yet.
I mean, sounds like a great idea to me.
Yeah. Every time I think that damn Bitcoin's going to, you know, go down or it takes a little dip, it goes back even higher. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. You got to get on it. You got to get on it. Even though it's premium right now, you got to get on it.
And I thought about buying Dogecoin, and I looked at it and I went, it's, you know, I screwed up on that one. So anyway,
you can't miss the boat on those.
All right, guys.
You can find me and Aaron Hagar all over the internet and the Rat Runner's Garage on the website.
I thought they could find you in the desert next week.
And next week you can find me cleaning up your damn messes out in the desert. We're filling in holes and cutting tree limbs and cleaning trash.
Good. Good for you.
Black Rock Desert. So tread nicely. Come on.
All right, guys. Hey, thanks, everybody. We appreciate it. And we'll be back next week, pal.
Cheers.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure, Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.